Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to learn the halachos of impurity to Kohanim. This is Siman Reish Beis, the 202nd Siman in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And we're going to look at a few concepts together. Number one is just the basic background. The Torah tells us in Vayikra Perek Chof Aleph Pasuk Aleph, Hashem says, Moshe emor el haKohanim b'nei Aaron v'amar talehem, tell the children of Aaron, of the priests, that the law is lenefesh lo yitamo b'amov, they may not come into contact with the dead. So let's look at the halacha, which is the contact with the dead. So what kind of contact with the dead is a kohen prohibited from having? So a kohen may not defile himself through contact with a corpse. What about a fetus? So an aborted fetus, whose limbs are connected and the fetus is after 40 days from conception, that is also considered a problem in terms of the halachas of tumah, or coming into contact with the dead. What about body parts? So even blood from a separated corpse is a problem. And this even involves a severed limb of a living person, if it has enough flesh that it would be attached to the heel, and even if it's his own limb, he may not come into contact with it because it is metame him. It impurifies him. May a kohen enter a house with a dying person, a goyseis, a person who's on the cusp of death? So although we view that the goyseis is considered alive and they're still ritually pure, therefore, but the concern is that there may be death at any point, and therefore the kohen has transgressed that he is desecrating himself by entering such a place. This makes it very complicated for kohanim to enter into hospitals. And in a hospital, it's often case that it's not just a goyseis, it's not just that a person is on the cusp of dying. Oftentimes a hospital does have bodies in the morgue, and therefore it becomes a issue of not just suspecting, but actually knowing. Does a non-Jewish corpse cause tumah? So some poskim say yes, although the Torah says, Adam ki yomus ba'ohel. And that excludes a non-Jew, but many poskim say there is a concern when it comes to non-Jewish bodies when it comes to tumah, including tumas oil, and the kohen should therefore avoid walking over a non-Jewish grave, especially if there might be an apostate, a Jew who left his religion then, as an apostate is considered Jewish in this regard, and before hilchos tumah and tahara, for purity and impurity. Are adult kohanim responsible for the ritual practice of their children? And the answer is yes. The pasuk we just looked at in Vayikra says, "Emor el bnei Yisrael v'amarta el bnei Aaron v'amarta lehem." You should say and teach, and that means to say you need to tell the children. Which means that a kohen parent may not allow their child to become impure. But if the child becomes impure by themselves, if they're not yet at the age of chinuch, around 6 years old, they do not need to stop them. But after the age of 6 years old, they need to start regulating their behavior. What about a pregnant wife of a kohen? So she's a bas Yisrael, or she has a child, and she's pregnant. The concern is that this might be a male son who has the prohibitions of being tame. So in this case, she is permitted to enter into the house of a corpse in such a circumstance. That's not yet a concern for the child, the fetus. Can kohanim demand a corpse be removed so they can access a house? So let's say there's a person who died and the coin's in the same house. Can they ask that it be removed? The answer is no, unless the coin is very sick and not being able to enter him into the house will cause him to be flustered and he'll enter the house and therefore by transgressing this. But other than that, he has to wait. What happens if it's a corpse of an aborted fetus? So in that case, the kohen may request that the fetus be removed for them to be able to enter the house. Even on Shabbos, they can ask it to be removed by a non-Jew if the kohen is in distress. We now move to the next concept, and that is ohel hameis. So is a kohen allowed to enter the room in the house containing a corpse, even if they don't come into direct contact? The answer is no. The Torah tells us in Bamidbar, Parshas Chukas, Zoyis HaTorah, this is the laws, Adam ki yomus ba'oil, if a person passes away in a tent, kol ha'boil oil, v'kol ha'sheri yeh ba'oil, v'kol ha'sher ba'oil, yitmo shivas yamim, anything that's in this, the confines of that under the same roof, is considered tamei. Therefore a kohen, it may not enter into such a place. What if the hole is smaller than one? What happens if the corpse is in the same house to the next room? So if there is a hole between the two rooms, which is a tefach, a handbreadth thick,
then the being as it's under the same roof, and there is a gap, which is a small enough window, that is big enough window, therefore the tumah transfers and a kohen may not be in the adjacent room. What happens if the hole is smaller than one, smaller than one handbreadth? So the hole is enough to they're made for emitting light, even if it's the size of a small kohen, it still can't transmit impurity, and therefore the kohen may not be in the adjacent room. What's the story with canopies in front of the house? So oftentimes you'll have, let's say, apartment buildings or tenements which are next to each other, and there's an overhang, there's a canopy outside. So how does that work? So if the canopy is in front of two doors, two neighboring houses that are next to each other, and the corpse is in house A, then we consider that the canopy, if it's bigger than a tefach of handbreadth, that canopy also extends to carry the tumah, and therefore the house B, which is under the same canopy, if the door or window is open, that house B, the kohen cannot be in, even though there's no corpse in that, but because the canopy has extended the tumah into such a case. What about impurity traveling under the beams or arches? So let's say you have a courtyard and you have a number of apartments which have an overhang around them in the sort of like the walkway in front of them. And then there's a beam, like they put a beam across the entranceway, or let's say an arch which goes across the entranceway. So being as that is like considered an extension of the roof, and if it's thicker than a handbreadth wide, therefore it will carry the tumah from one side to the other, and the canopy on the other end will also be considered under the same roof as the corpse who's on the first side as well. This is not true if the arch is built on the ground. So if the arch is built and it's got its own legs, even though it might be next to the canopy, then it's not considered like it's from canopy to canopy because it has its own undershadow. What about if there's a closed wall which has a roof above it? So project, like let's say there's two houses next to each other. There's a wall that joins the two of them, but there's a canopy which sort of extends over that wall between the two of them. So that is also a problem unless one removes, let's say, a slat or a beam bigger than a tefach, which will break the continuity of that roof, and therefore it would not continue the tumah. What's the halacha which applies to the door through which the corpse will be removed? So let's say that the house is closed, the door is locked, and there is a lintel area, but so that area is not tumah yet because nothing's open and the corpse is inside. May the kohen wait under that lintel in the meantime, and this is the halacha of what's called sof tumah lotzeis. If the impurity is going to come out in this specific door, he may not be there right now as well, unless there's another opening that's in the house where there's a window that measures four square tefachim, then it's not considered open. This door's not considered open in that respect. Now, a few things. The next concept is actions the kohen may take. What should a kohen do if he's in a sealed room and he hears that there's a nearby corpse outside? So in that case, if the windows and the doors are shut tightly, he should remain inside until the corpse is removed, so long as it doesn't open, so he will not get into a state of impurity. How close can he come to a dead body or a grave? So a kohen may generally not come within 4 amos, which is around 7 feet of a body or a grave in its permanent place. But let's say it's at a funeral procession, that's not yet reached its final destination, then it's only 4 tefachim, 4 handbreadths is sufficient because the location is considered temporary in that respect. Obviously, we're talking about outside where they're not under the shared roof. What if a kohen is asleep in a house and somebody, God forbid, dies, and there's not enough time to seal off the room the kohen is in? What should happen? So you need to wake up that kohen, and he needs to be asked to leave. What happens if he isn't clothed yet? So it would be inappropriate for him to run out. So what you should do is, if you're aware of the situation and that person asleep, that kohen is sleeping, tell them to wake up and get dressed and come with you without explaining it. And if they aren't listening, then you just say there's a dead person, they need to run out, even if they had a chance to clothe themselves in that situation. We look at our fourth and last concept today, and that is impurifying for relatives. We know that the beginning of Parshas Emor, which describes all the impurity, the Tumas Kohanim, does allow a kohen to impurify himself when it comes to dealing with his relatives. So who are the relatives that are allowed to be tummy for? This is with the exception, of course, the kohen gadol is not allowed even this. And that is, a regular kohen is allowed to attend the funeral and be tummy for the father, mother, wife, son and daughter, and his brother or sister from the same father, if the sister is not married. If she's married, this does not apply. Are there restrictions on when the kohen may defile himself for his relatives? So some say he's only allowed to do this for the burial needs. So it's not like, let's say it's on a Shabbos and there's nothing he can do, then he may not be able to do this, unless he's being a shomer, even to be a shomer, because he should at that point in time he cannot be doing things to prepare for the actual burial. But if there is a cherek kaddish, he may stay in the house to discuss things, because he might be able to be helpful when it comes to some of the planning. Until when may the kohen remain defile himself for a relative? So until the grave is closed after the burial, and then he must leave and not continue the contact. Are there relatives a kohen may not defile himself for? So yes, if let's say their parents left Jewish practice, we're not talking about just drifted to a lack of observance, they ideologically opposed Judaism, or those who committed suicide with knowledge, as we discussed in the previous sermon, in case it was actually done with knowledge, or those for mourning, who mourning is not observed, these are people who are apostates or heretics who've left the Jewish faith. Can a kohen defile himself for a relative whose body is incomplete? So let's say, God forbid, Sony, a kohen had a relative who was killed in battle and lost limbs. So some poskim say no, and the body must be whole, and the kitzur advises being strict in this regard. Can kohanim visit graves of tzaddikim? So the kitzur says that this is a foolish practice, and one should not be able to do this. Even tzaddikim do transmit impurity, and he said this practice should be stopped. These are some of the halachas that most people are not necessarily aware of, because they don't have to think these ways. Kohanim themselves do think this way, and they're more sensitive to this, but it's very important for others to be aware of the restrictions, because if you have anything which is holy, it has to have boundaries, and if there's boundaries, that means there's an inside and there's an outside, and if there's an outside, that means there's certain rules that holy people, holy places cannot be, and there has to be rules for it. That's what we're dealing with over here, a brief summary of these very important halachas. With this, we conclude. Have a wonderful, meaningful